Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Is anybody worried that I'm going to preach too long tonight? You're supposed to raise your hand because we're preaching on worry tonight. All right, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." All right, as the idea of taking no thought about being anxious, concerned, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now this section here is followed from in a section really where he's been speaking of money. It's speaking of your eye being single, laying up yourselves treasures in heaven. Now it goes into being concerned about some of these daily provisions, some of these daily needs of life. And he says, take no thought for your life. Don't be concerned about these things. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? The idea is that is not your life greater than meat? Is not your life, your body, greater than the raiment that you're putting on? You know, if Paul's getting married here pretty soon in March, and imagine if he got this really fancy car, for his honeymoon. Maybe it's a $75,000 car. It was just a really fancy one. And anyways, he pulls it up, to take his wife away and he comes to the car and actually maybe he didn't pull it up. He just kind of had it parked there and he gets in the car and his wife says, "Why are you, starting this car?" He's like, "Well, I provided the car. You've got to provide the gas." I don't think anybody would expect him to do something like that. All right, and here we have, God has given us life. God has given us a body. You know, and yet we are concerned about what? These minuscule things, but yet our life is far greater. The body is far greater than the clothes that we put on. And you know what? God is going to take care of those basic things of life. You know, if God can keep our life running, if God can keep our body together and provide for those needs, how much more can He provide for our food? How much more can He provide for the clothing that we need? It says in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" You know, first of all, we need to recognize the value that God places. You need to recognize the value that God places on your life. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And secondly, we need to recognize the concern that God has for your life. He says, here, look at the fowls of the air. And, you know, maybe at this time that Christ was speaking, maybe there were birds flying overhead. Maybe there was even, as one commentator said, migratory birds flying overhead. You know, what do the birds have to do to take care of themselves? Well, God provides their clothes. God provides their food. And He says, are ye not much better than they? You know, we live in a society in which, in some ways, animal life has become more important than human life. You know, you have the bald eagle. And, you know, you have to have a permit to be able to take bald eagles' eggs, bald eagle eggs. You know, unless you have a permit, you could get $5,000 fine the first time, maybe the second, I think up to 1 year in prison or $5,000 fine, something along that lines. And I think the second offense could be like upwards to $10,000 and maybe even up to 2 years in prison. I mean, depending on what the judge says. But yet, if you have a license, you can what? You can practice abortion as often as you please, in, you know, maybe within certain parameters. You know, we don't have the value on human life that God has. You know, we need to recognize the concern that God has for our lives. God is concerned about your life. You can sit there and worry about some of these necessities of life, but what you don't realize is that God is concerned. You know, God takes care of the animals. In verse 27, it says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Well, you can sit there and worry about your height. And you can think really hard maybe about, boy, I need to be taller. But yet you have no control over that. I mean, yeah, you can say, I want to get shorter or something, or I want to get, you know, bigger, and so you eat more. But, you know, if you want to grow, you really don't have control over that. I mean, maybe there are certain foods you can try to eat to help you to grow taller. But ultimately, God is the one that has made your body a certain way. And here, you know, many times we think that we are in so much control over everything. You know, but yet you can't do anything to make yourself taller, so to speak, but yet you're going to be concerned about something small, like it says here in verse number 28, and why you're going to be concerned about what you're going to eat. You know, you're going to worry about what you're going to put on and all these different small things. We need to realize that God sovereignly rules over and cares for each human life. You know, we are really utterly helpless. You know, the Titanic illustrates human beings thinking that they can survive on their own. Human beings that think that we're fine by ourselves. Titanic was the biggest, the brashest, the most magnificent and opulent structure ever to sail. Her passenger list boasted the most famous names in the world. I'm not going to read everything. More than 100,000 people attended her launching. In every respect, she was the ship of dreams. She was the floating embodiment of the new age of scientific optimism and the international symbol of the century that would finally realize utopia. If ever there was an event which threatened to rival the tower-building efforts of Nimrod and his minions, that event was the creation and launch of the Titanic. Less than a half century had passed since Darwin shocked the world with his theory, but already many believed the evolutionary ascent of man had climaxed, leaving him impenetrable to natural and supernatural forces. Man had finally conquered nature. Titanic's watertight compartments, her state-of-the-art telegraph system, and her gargantuan size would prove this. Consequently, she did not really need lifeboats. Her crew could be strangers to one another. She could skip standard drill procedures. She could attempt travel at excessive speeds through the North Atlantic ice fields, and she could ignore numerous warnings about icebergs. All this with the absolute confidence of Titanic's invincibility against the forces of nature. After all, even God himself could not sink this ship. You know, the list of if-onlys is seemingly endless. If they only had heeded the iceberg warnings. If only there had been enough lifeboats. If only they had not misplaced the binoculars. If only a Titanic had not reversed engines. If only the ship in the distance had come. If only the wireless operator had been willing to receive the final message, and on and on. Had any of these if-onlys been prevented, the Titanic would be little more than a footnote in history. But Titanic foundered, and with her sank the dreams of an entire generation. You know, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit onto his stature? But yet many times we think we're in control, but yet many times we get worried about some of these smallest things of life. And it says in the next verse, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Here's the flower of the field, completely dependent upon who? Upon God to clothe it. And yet it says that flower, the beauty of that flower, surpasses Solomon in all his glory. The great King Solomon in the Old Testament, the richest of all the kings of the earth, and yet a simple flower that is completely dependent upon God is more glorious than the beauty of King Solomon. You know, tonight we would be wise to put our complete dependence upon God instead of worrying, instead of trying to figure out how we're going to accomplish certain things. Recognizing that the very flower of the field that is completely dependent upon God is far more glorious than one of the greatest, the most, the king that had the greatest riches of all the earth. We need to recognize the concern that God has for each individual. But here in this verse, number 30, we see the cause for worry. What is it? He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, why do people worry? Because people are not what? People are not trusting God. You know, one of the reasons you worry in your life is because your dependence is not of God. You know, George Mueller's first wife died. And, you know, he was commenting on Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will he uphold with them that walk uprightly. And he said, you know what? I've been walking uprightly. And in essence, he said that, you know what? If God can heal my wife, if that's what he wants, but if he takes her, I will recognize in my life that God was doing what was good for my life. And, you know, he said, and so my heart was at rest. And all this springs from taking God at his word. He understood no matter what happened, God was going to do what was good. And the best thing that could happen to him is what God was going to do. And he wasn't going to sit there and try to figure everything out. You know, the reason we worry is because we have a lack of faith. And I'm going to have to wrap things up here. Maybe we'll have to say some more of these things later. But another reason is wrong priorities. We worry because our priorities are in the wrong place. In verse number 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if your priorities are in the right place, you don't have any reason to worry. Now, that promise is not for you if your priority is in the wrong place. If you're not seeking, if you're not diligently seeking to put God's kingdom first in every area, seeking first, giving God the priority that he is due. Seek, it implies being absorbed in the search for a preserving and strenuous effort to obtain. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You don't have cause to worry tonight if your priorities are in the right place. So worry can come from a lack of faith. Worry can come from misplaced priorities. You know, I wonder tonight, is there worry in your life? Is there anxiousness? You know, the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I liked what one person said. God has not given us strength today for tomorrow's difficulties. You know, we need to recognize that God places a great value on your life. And we need to realize that all the things that this world has to offer is really nothing compared to what God has to offer. And he's simply saying, hey, put me first in everything. Seek God first in everything. And those things that we're worried about. You know what? God's given you life. He's going to make your life what it needs to be. Don't be worried about those small little details. To God, those are what? It's nothing for God, in a sense, to have to provide for those things. What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to put Him first, is to live by faith, to depend completely on Him. You know, are you worried about something tonight? We need to recognize God's value, the great value He has upon your life. And you need to turn from living for the things of life. And you need to put your full trust and confidence in Him and seek only after His will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that You would help us to seek You in all that we do. Lord, help us to set aside the worry. Lord, the worry will distract us from serving You. And Lord, may You help us to set aside those cares and concerns and realize that if we will simply put You first, Lord, You will take care of all those worries that our minds can so easily dwell upon. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.